We are doing now the very famous Gemara Maseches Menachos Daf Chaf Tes. The Gemara describes the shapes of the Osios, and in the context of that, it has a very major Yesod in Hashkafa. And the reason that we are doing it Bechlal is because of the Gra. The Gra in his Bir Agra and Mishlei Perik Dalid, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Pasuk says, Belechtecha lo yitzar tzaadecha. When you walk, your path will not confine you. It will not be narrow. So what is the pshat of that, says the Vilna Gaon? So he says, Belechtecha lo yitzar tzaadecha. Belechtecha lo yitzar tzaadecha ki ha-hoylech bedarkei Hashem tzorich beis dvorim. Aleph, leilech bepesach tzar v'koton ubi yisurim. It's a very hard thing to find your way in the straight and narrow. You notice the expression even in English, the straight and narrow. Pesach tzar v'kot. K'mosh amru chazal, le'ol b'hai lo mistaya milsa. We'll explain what that means by looking at the Gemara on page 2. Ki lefesach chatos roivetz. Right at the beginning by Adam Arishain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Yetzer Hara is always straining at the gates. Be Efshar Ela B'HaPesach HaKoton K'ma Sha'amru B'Gemara Sham. That's the first part, V'HaBeis, which requires almost a shear in its own right. We spoke about it in the past. We'll speak about it again today. B'li Neder. V'HaBeis Lo Likpoitz L'Malo Min HaDarga Asher Re'u Yalo K'ma Sha'amru Shematoima kolabolik feitz kaifeitz v'chulu. V'zeh she'oma she'hatayra yogin olecha mehakoil. The Torah will protect you on both fronts. Number one, belechtecha lo yitzar tzadcha shlotiye tzarech lichnois bedoichak. V'im toruts midarga ledarga lo sikoshel shaloi tipol machmazeh. The second half of the guy in this last two comments, that the Torah protects you from A and from B, is very, very difficult to understand, and I think it requires a lot of analysis. But let's begin at the beginning. What do we mean when the guy says that the Pesach is tzar v'kot? What is he talking about? So the Gemara in Menachos Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis says, "B'pnei man nivra ha'olam hazeh behei." We pointed out last time, Achsadra is a porch, a portico, it's without walls. Remember I gave you then this whole discussion about chuppah, and the open chuppah, and the closed chuppah, and the two different madrigas of building a house, and there's Achnasas Orchin, there's an open house, and the question is, who do you let in? And then she builds the cocoon around the house, that even when it's open, it's not so open. And then, of course, there's the totally closed house, which represents the tznius of the bais, you know, this idea of rohu koisle beisa saaretz roisha. This is not just a question of her personal tznius. This is the concept that the bais is mole tznius. And of course, you have the idea that the bais has, like by Sara Imenu, how did he know that Rivka was the mamalis makoim of Sara? Because he saw that the simone bracha of anon kosher and Bracha Mitzuya Be'isa, and what else? Meir is Dolkais. These brachas returned. What people do not know, and this is a remarkable point, which I think fits glove, hand in glove, as they say, in what we're saying, is that there was a fourth Madrega that changed when Sarah was Nifteris. Does anybody know what that fourth Madrega was? The fourth Madrega was that the openings of the house narrowed. The all four openings closed. They narrowed. What's the pshat in that? So based on what we were saying, it fits so beautifully. He could only afford to keep that open as long as she had maintained the cocoon of solas, kemach, kemach, solas. She doesn't want them in the house. If she's gone, the Hachnasas Orchim has to narrow. Not because she's not there for the Lushi Vasi Ugos. He was a very wealthy man, Avraham Avinu. He owned a few bakeries. It was no problem. The fact is that without Sarah and Kol Hashatome Elecha Sarah Shema Bekola, you can't take that risk anymore. It's a remarkable idea. So the house narrows in its Achnasa Sarchim to protect the insides of the house. But when she's there and when Rivka came, again, it went back to what it was before. So the idea of this Doimelach Sadra is obvious. When there are no walls, there's always a sakana. In the story of the Gemara, the sakana is that you'll exit without even knowing, without even realizing it. It's very easy to go out of your house. I repeat once again what we heard from Hutna Zechon Levracha and from his Talmid many, many times. There are two constructions that are detailed in Chumash. Only two. The Tevas Noach, with its dimensions. The Mishkan, with its dimensions. What do these two Tevas represent? These two constructions represent? The Tevas Noach is to save what's inside from the Mabul that's outside. What does the Mishkan represent? The extra measure of Hashras, Hashchin, and Kedusha, which is the province of the Mishkan, the province of the Beis HaMikdash, and of the Mikdash Ma'at, and of the Yeshiva. That is the place that you come for Hashras, Hashchina, through Limud HaTorah. What Rav Hutna said was that today, the Yeshiva is also the Tevas Noach. What he said in his time, if you know the pshat of a Kal V'chomer and you draw it almost to infinity, that's the matz of today. Because if we needed a Tevas Noach Demolt for whatever issues were up then, we need it now 1,000 times more. What's the problem? The problem is that you can't take the Mabul into the Teva. That's the problem. We really are living in a Zman that is Kulo Yachsadra. A person has to understand what he's up against. Not that we don't realize it, because left and right, it's in front of our nose. But the fact of the matter is that what this Gemara is describing about Achsadra, what this Gemara is describing is clearly the universal common denominator, the bottom line today. We are in an Achsadra. So the Gemara says, Vaita umaitaima talye kare. Why is there a leg that is hanging? You know, you take a look at a ches, it has two solid legs coming down from the top. You take a look at the hay, and the hay has a suspended leg because there's a space above it till the roof. So mipnei matalye lekare, zokt the Gemara. An explanation, the Hadar B'tshuva. If he finds himself on the wrong side of the Achsadra, because he went out in this open space, and now he's in the clearing, which means he's Shakua B'chait, he still has the opportunity to do tshuva. And if he does tshuva, says the Gemara, they provided for him an opening to get back into the Achsadra. So the Gemara immediately asks a question, I don't understand. If the Achsadra is wide open, so just go back the way you came. In other words, if you exited through the opening, come back through the same opening. So it could have been a ches, and you fall out of the bottom, so to speak, so you climb back up by climbing back the way you came. So the Gemara asks that question, V'le'el b'hach. It says, if you come out through the bottom, you should be able to go back through the top, and that's a very narrow opening. Much smaller than the opening on the bottom, which means it's much harder to do and there's more to climb. So the question is, why don't you go back the way you came? Zakta Gemara Loshin Loi Mistaya Milsa. It's not possible to do. It's too hard. It doesn't work. Mistaya is the same Loshin as we use all the time in Siyata Dishmaya. Siyua means assistance, help, aid. Loi mistaya milsa, it doesn't work. It can't help you. Zokt Rashi. Loi mistaya milsa. Rashi, let's read all the Rashis. Shedoy melach sadra shepasuach mitachtov. Shekolo roitze lotzeis mimenu. Mitachtov, by the way, doesn't mean that there's a hole in the ground. It means under the roof, it's open, meaning there are no walls. There are just columns, a portico, a pergola. You know, those places which are wide open in the walls are not there. So Rashi should call it Reitzim Menu Lotzeis Mimenu L'Tarbus Ra Yotzei. Rashi says, what does it mean going out of the portico? It means going off the derech. So Rashi Ma'al in Lei the Pesach Elyon Bein Regel Shebesoichoi L'Gagoi. Rashi paints a picture with words, which of course we understand very well. The leg of the hay, between the top of the leg of the hay and the roof, there's a space. And that's the opening in which he should go if he wants to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, "Voleo b'ha'ach Pesach ha'tachton d'nafik bay." Let him go back the way he fell out from the bottom of the hay. Let him go back that way and climb up again. Loi mistaya milso d'habolit taher bo'i siyua mipnei yetzer hara hilkoch abdi le'siyua Pesach yisera. This Rashi needs a lot of explanation. Because, and I've read this Rashi many, many times, and each time I read it, I wonder to myself if what I'm thinking is correct. What bothers me, in my understanding of the Rashi, what's troubling me, are the last few words. Avdi le'siyua Pesach yisera. The impression that I get from the Rashi over and over again is different from what my original assumption of the Gemara was. Let me tell you first what my original assumption was, and why I think it's contradicted by Rashi. I thought that what the Gemara is saying is simply as follows. That you come out of the bottom, there's plenty of room over there, and l'cha'ayra, you have ample opportunity, and there's enough space to climb right back up. So the Gemara asks, so why doesn't he do that? This is all symbolic, you understand. But in terms of the symbolism, why isn't it enough to have a ches? You fall out, you climb back. So the Gemara says, lo yistaya milsa means that where the Pesach chatas is roivetz, you cannot enter. That's the pshat. You can't go back the way you came means, in our terms, in human terms, that you can't fix a problem by denying it. You can't fix a problem by simply saying one day, I'm not going to do that anymore. It doesn't work like that. A person is changed by chet. And to change back, you can't simply make believe that the chet never happened. In tshuva that makes zedonos into zechuyos, the highest madrega of tshuva, there is a you know why it turns into zechuyos? Because there's a change of person coming together with the erasure of the chet. There is in the chet a transformation, and you can't simply undo what's done. You have to change completely. The measure of that change is achieved in a way that is not possible by simply going back where you came from. There are certain gates that are sensor driven, and when there's motion and they don't want that the person should come in, the gate drops. The gate that is open on the bottom, when you leave, the gate falls down. There has to be an opportunity for the person to break through that gate. And that's what the Gemara says, lo yistayim. Because in the attempt to break through that gate, something happens. And I'll try to be masbir. Unfortunately, I didn't copy it over. But one of the great Sforim says, a gevaldike yisod in fighting the Yetzer Hara. He says, it's in the Hakdama to the Sefer HaMakna, on Kedusha, Sefer HaMakna. But whatever it is, one of this great Sforim writes that when a person is fighting the Yetzer Hara nemtzach in the mensch exactly in proportion to the Milchama that's being fought. And the Milchama that's being fought is a milchama either on an extremely superficial level. Everybody wants to be good. Everybody claps al chayt on Yom Kippur. But the Yetzer Hara knows that basically he has you. And you're not going to change because of any Yom Kippur. And the next day maybe you'll be good, but 3 days later you'll be right back to where, I don't mean you, the person will be right back to where he was. Such a person, the Yetzer Hara, doesn't have too big avoida, and he doesn't bother too much. There's a famous marshal that a person, some tzaddik, decided that he's moving to a certain town. So he said, you're going to that town? The town is mole, who knows what? He says, yeah, I'm going to that town. You know why? Lately I've been having problems with the Yetzer Hara, with the Satan. In that town I know the Satan has long since left. He says, because there's no work for him to do whatsoever. He already accomplished his task, you understand? There are certain people that the Satan nemtzach nicht zu sehen. Tzadikim, the union of Yitzram Gadol Himenu, also reflects that idea. When you reach a madrega where you're real and sincere, the Satan, the Yetzirah, Nemtzach Tzadir Ba'ofen Neira. I think that that's the pshat of Rashi. The difference between the two pshatim is the following. The first Mahalach says what I thought the pshat was, is that simply you can't go back because you need a novel approach. You need a different, you need a change of personality. You need a different perception. And simply trying to undo what you did doesn't work. Rashi says that if you try to go back the way you came, the Yetzer Hara grabs you and twists you and turns you until he'll break you. You need a different mahalach. Not because the other mahalach doesn't work, because it's too hard. You need a siyaita. And the siyaita cannot come from going back the way you came, which is symbolic that you're doing it all yourself. That's the pshat. Take a look at Rashi Nachamal. Loi mistaya milsa, dahabo litayer bo'i siyua mipne yetzer hara. Hilkoch avdi le siyua bepesach yeseira. It's as if to say that you go in where the siyaita d'shmaya allows. That's what that little Pesach means. So the first approach, I want to make clear the difference between the two. The first approach says that going back the way you came is not shayach. You're not going to change. The second approach says it's not shayach because it's too hard. It's not shayach because you need what that little opening on top represents, according to what I suggested to you, is a novel approach. An end run around the Yetzer Hara. An outsmarting the Yetzer Hara, so to speak. A pure makom, which doesn't have the Yetzer Hara. According to Rashi, it's simply a symbolism of Siyata Dishmaya. According to Rashi, what's happening is this. If you had a ches, you got out into the wilderness, you fell into the pit, you're in the schmutz, just climb out. That's all. So Rashi, it doesn't work like that. Because without a siyata d'shmaya, it's not going to happen. Habo l'taya misayin lo is not just a promise. It's a requirement. And that's what that opening represents. That Hashem is helping you. So what I'm suggesting is, in the methodology of the tshuva, you need a Pesach of its own. You know, as if you're doing it yourself. Of course you need Siyata Dishmaya. But the Pesach doesn't represent Siyata Dishmaya. The Pesach represents a novel approach, a different attitude. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Rambam says there's something called Darkei HaTshuva. One of the Darkei HaTshuva is you change your name. I only witnessed this once in my life. A person became a Baal Tshuva. He came into my shul. He asks me, he wants an aliyah. He wants to change his name. He actually changed his name. I mean, he had a Hebrew name. He had a bris, he had a Hebrew name. Family wasn't religious, and he went with the way of the family. Whatever inspired him. Now he's a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. He wants to change his name. It's the only time I ever witnessed it. A Baal Tshuva changing his name. In the Darkei HaTshuva, you change your name. So the Rambam says, what's that? Mela, you harav on yourself, this, that, or whatever. But what is changing a name? Kloimar, eini oisai ha'ish she'asa whatever he did, ela ani acher. You know, it's a symbolic way of saying that the person that did the averus is somebody else. Just like lahavdil, Rachmana Litzlon, Bar Minan, someone gets sick and adds a name, changes his name. Because, you know, adding a name is changing your name. And I explain something very quickly because it's not Negeya to our Inyan. I've said this a number of times, it bears repeating. There's no such thing as a middle name in Yiddishkeit. Because the concept of a middle name is that the first name is your first name. It's a separate name. And the middle name is an additional name, just like your family name is an additional name. So you have three names. A first name, a second name, and a third name. The third name is called the family name. The first name is your first name. And the one in the middle is called the middle name. In Yiddishkeit, it does not exist. In Yiddishkeit, there's no family name either. But there's a concept of your name. That's the name that you were given at a bris. You can be Mishana, your name. But the fact is that the name that's given, it doesn't matter. Recently, I had a very interesting shaila, which just reflects my point. Someone calls me, and he has a very big dilemma. His father was Nifter, and now he has a boy, and everyone's masking that he has the zechus. Say the halachas mask him, say the families mask him. Everybody's on the same page. So what's the problem? The problem is that his father had four names. Like, for example, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Levi. That was his name. One name. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Levi. He says, I feel very... How that happened, whatever. Because he was named after two grandparents or something, or a grandparent and an uncle. And they had double names. And Memela, there was probably some issue that they one person wanted this name, one person wanted that name, or whatever after the Churban, I don't know. But whatever it is, they finally made a compromise, and they gave him all four names. So Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi is just a marshal, whatever the name was, but it's four separate names in one person. So he says, I'm going to burden that. He'll be a laughing stock. Somebody's going to ask me, what's your name? Write down your name. What are you called for an aliyah? My name is Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Halevi ben Chaim Moshe Yisrael HaKoyin, or whatever, something. I mean, you know. And the Olam is going to complain, how come we got out late today? So, but the fact of the matter is, for the fact of the matter is, that if you have a dilemma like that, what do you do now? So we're masking that a burden to the child is unfair. It's unfair. What is a burden? What isn't a burden? One could be, you know, discuss and argue. Sometimes you have a very unusual Yiddish name, which doesn't go anymore, and that's what the Baba was called. And what do you do now? And that's also, it happens all the time. But the fact of the matter is, and sometimes you have the opposite. What was your father's name? Sylvester. But what was his Hebrew name? He didn't have a Hebrew name. No joke. Sylvester. So who is going to call his kid who's going to brisk next year, so to speak? You know, Lassid Lavo. No, Sylvester, what do you say? What's the svara? What's the pshat, Sylvester? So he understands very well that this is not poshut. You know, you can't simply say, oh, it's Kodesh Kadoshim, the name of that once was. You have to take the living person into account. It's an achrayah. It's just like raising him and diapering him. You have to take it into account. So once, what happened was, you have to pick from the name. Oh, so here's the dilemma. It's not that he had four names. He had one name that was very long. That's the pshat. So what's the difference? So the way I was mekabel from my rebbes, whoever are my rebbes in these inyonim, if you give the exact same name, you have the koiches of that name. If you give part of the name, or a remes to the name, you only have the memory of the name. But you don't have the koiches of the name. Memela. To have the koiches is not possible if you're going to take the child's nerves into account. So you have to have a memory. The memory could be a chelik of the name. And you'll say you were named after the Zayde. So in a name, there's no such thing as a two-name person. It's a one-name person of two words. It's a one-name person of four words. So when someone is Moshe Leib, it's not that his name is Moshe and his middle name is Leib. What's the one main nafkamina, by the way, is there is an inyan to call a person by his name. When you call a person by part of the name, you're calling him by a nickname. So whether you call him Meshala or you call him Moshe, if his name is Moshe Leib and you don't call him Moshe Leib, you're calling him by his nickname for his entire life. Now, is that terrible? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not correct. Al Pi Kabbalah, probably it's not correct. But the fact of the matter, because a name is a very big thing. When a person's Mishana his name, let's go now back. He is basically changing and transforming his essence. The Rambam apparently feels that psychologically, this is a statement that reflects where he is now compared to where he was yesterday, that the distance between those two is so great that he's veritably a different person. He's been given a name like he was born yesterday. You know, I don't like to use the expression born again. It has peculiar connotations. But the idea of changing the name is kilu eini oisei ish ela ach. Now, you have to understand that when you say eini oisei ish ela acher, what you're basically doing is you are outsmarting the Yetzer Hara. And that's what I was suggesting to you. That you can't go back the way you came. You can't be the same person with the same mahalach. There are many ways of outsmarting and outwitting the Yetzer Hara and sidestepping the Yetzer Hara. But you cannot maintain the same environment. One of the other Derech HaTshuva, of course, is, what's the famous Derech HaTshuva? Golus. Golus is mechaperes. That's true. But Golus is something else. You know what Golus does? It also changes your name. How so? Because when a person is in his own environment, he's somebody. He has established himself. He has kavod. He has dignity. He has presence. He has weight. He carries weight. The minute a person goes out lemerchakim, where nobody knows who he is, he basically is a nobody. And no matter how significant he is in his essence, there has to be some erosion of that chashivus just by virtue of the fact that he's in a new place. And therefore, golus is not only mechaperes, but also it's darkei hatshuva. And that is the whole point. There are other darkei hatshuva, davening, tzedakah, but the nekuda of changing and going into golus, both of those yesodos are a way of going into the Pesach Lamala instead of just maintaining your environment, maintaining your substance, maintaining your essence, and saying, I'm going to overcome the Yetzer Hara anyhow. And there are many, many other examples of this, why the Pesach Katan is necessary. And by the way, this is how I learned. And by the way, the Pesach, it has to be a Pesach Katan. Because the Pesach Gadol is the person in his, you know, in his entire life, in his whole being, which manifests in so many different ways. There's a big, big opening out there. And coming back through that opening, not being shayach, it's because the narrow opening is what you've created as a substitute. That has to be by definition narrow, because it doesn't have all of the previous elements. That's what Mishana Shmo does and what Goyla does and many other things as well. There is, according to Rashi, a different understanding of the Pesach Katan. The Pesach Katan is a symbol within a symbol. Not only is the hay symbolic, but the Pesach Katan is symbolic of one thing only. That you go back to tshuva only because Hashem helps you. And if it had just been the opening on the bottom, we wouldn't see that. The opening on the top is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a breakthrough in the leg of the ches to let you back in. That's the way Rashi learns. Look at the words again. Why does Rashi say Pesach Yesera? Rashi says, it's as if Rashi's saying you could go back the way you came, but it's not enough. You need another Pesach as well. Now, if somebody is very stubborn, he could insist that both Pshatim are the same. I don't know. But in any case, let's go weiter in the Gemara. Loi mistaya milsa. How do you know? So interestingly enough, the Gemara could have said, because Maisim b'chol yayim. But the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. And which Pasuk is it? A Pasuk that we've had in the past. The There's a whole machloikas rishayim, which is fascinating if you're learning the oisiyos of the ksav for, say, for Torah, tefillin, and so on. But there's a machloikas what that tag is. Rashi, Tosfos, other rishayim. But Rashi says the tag is keser katan b'seif gagoy dehei. What is this crown? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a crown when he does tshuva. This is probably the same idea as Zedoinos Anefach Lezuchuyos. So, and also, B'makoyim Shebali Tshuva Oimdim Ein Sadikim Gemurim Rashoyim Lamod. Okay. Now, let's go back to the words of the Goyin, and then I want to do with you the Marsha. So the Goyin says that when it says Belechtecho lo yetzar tza'adcha, so he's saying a gevaldike thing here. According to the Gra, and what's unique about what the Gra is saying, is that this entire Gemara, there is an Eitzah. There's an Eitzah that the Pesach Katan is not a Pesach Katan. And that Eitzah is Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah. It's a remarkable thing. I just want to dwell upon something. A person did various chatoyim. His life is going in a tailspin. The water of the Mabul is coming into the Teva. The Achsadra's walls are too open. And all of a sudden he wakes up one day and he says, I'm changing. And he knows that Torah is the best Eschaira, so he runs back into the Beis Medrash. He takes the Gemara and starts learning Ba'as Mada. Not so pashut. Not so pashut. And I don't think that's what the Gaon means. I think what the Gaon means, if you look at his Lashon, in other words, the tshuva process is a requirement that no other eitzah. There's no such thing as not doing tshuva. But it's so hard to do tshuva. Torah Megino Matzila is not just from this inyan or that inyan. In Gashmius and Ruchnius, it also allows the tshuva to... It's a lubricant. That's what Torah is. That's what he's saying. It's a lubricant. You try to take a wood, piece of wood, for example, and squeeze it through a very narrow aperture, a little hole, and it's barely... It's come out the size of the peg itself. So you kvetch. You spray it with a little oil, and then you stick it in. It's gate. That's what the Torah is. And that's what the Gaon meant. The Gaon never suggested that it's a substitute for tshuva. When you're going into the Pesach, lo yetzaloch, it won't be as narrow. It won't be with such yisurim. It won't be with such a struggle. That's what he means. But the other point that he makes is also fascinating. Because the second point that he makes is a much bigger chiddush than the first. That Torah can be a lubricant, not such a chiddush. But what about the second point? So the Gaon says that when a person is going, Mi Yala Bahar Hashem, you know what all the Mefarshim say, and we've said it in Shir a number of times, there's Mi Yala and there's Mi Yokum. Mi Yala is one Inyan, and Mi Yokum is a second Inyan. And the Mi Yala needs the Mi Yokum. Because you go and reach Madregas, and each Madrega is a place, not just as an ultimate place, but each Madrega is a place. In the Braisa of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah, that the Gemara in Avodah Zorah quotes, and elsewhere, Torah may be Lidei Zahirus, and Zahirus to Zrizus, and then it goes on and on, to the highest Madregas, each level is an accomplishment and a world unto itself. So the Goyin says, when you reach a certain Madrega, then you have to worry about Miyokum. And a person has to assimilate and integrate into that Madrega. If he doesn't, then the idea that he could go to the next Madrega is not only foolish, it's dangerous. Because A, if it's real, it's not going to happen. And if it's false, it's even worse. Oy va'avoy to a person who deludes himself into thinking that he's a Baal Madrega. Not because of Gaiva. It's just that he's working and doing in emptiness. Because it can't be real if he's not shayach to the parsha. I remember I once had a Talmud And I was talking in my shiur about Tikkun Chatzos. So I said that most people don't say Tikkun Chatzos. But I told him I once heard on the tape from Rabbi Victor Miller, if some, more or less, I think I'm remembering correctly, he says, yes, yes, it's true. I do say Tikkun Chatzos. It's true, you know. He does. So one of the boys, they're not boys anymore. They're in their 20s. One of them pipes up. He says, so do I. Cook him on it. I didn't say anything. For him to say Tikkun Chatzos is more absurd than for me to take the violin with the New York Philharmonic. Tashdeis. Stachmamish. I just want to make it clear that I don't know how to play the violin at all. That's my point. There are certain things that's an inyan to do. And there's certain things that are gvaldike choshev zach. But they're not our things yet. Each person according to where he is. Now, there are some things, Lamarshal, somebody says, I'm not nizer in chodosh. It's not, I'm not on that madrega. That is a ridiculous statement. It is similar to what some boys in certain circles, or girls for that matter, in certain circles, which I won't describe, say, I'm not shomer negia. Not shomer negia. Negia in this particular case is to be taken literally. It doesn't mean a vested interest. It means an unvested interest. Anyhow, the bottom line is that you can't say about things that are essential and a chelik of halacha, but a lot of people don't do it for whatever reason, because they paskin like the Bach. They asked, who did they ask? The Avnei Nezer. They asked the Avnei Nezer, how come the Hasidim don't follow the union of Yoshin and Chodosh? So he says, because most of Hasidus comes from the Talmidim of the Chayz of Lublin. Because it's spread all over Poland, which is the majority of Jews before Hitler, Yamach Shmai, and then from there to Hungary, v'chulu, so the bastard, except for Russian Hasidus, most Hasidus is from the Chayz of Lublin's Cheder. And the Chayz of Lublin, he says, was an enikel of the Bach, and Paskin like him, and that was that. So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, of course, and he says nothing doing, and the vast majority of Rishonim and Achronim disagree, and so Yeresha Mayim, I think he should keep Chodesh and Yosha. But if a person says he does or if a person says he doesn't, it's not the same as what I'm talking about. That's a halacha. But there's certain inyonim in Yiddishkeit that are gehoibin inyonim. And bale nefesh are nizer in them. And when a person climbs out on that ledge and he doesn't have a good pair of sneakers, he's going to fall off the ledge. And that is because you're not shayach to a parsha, but you have the expectations of it. I'm going to tell you a meir de gezach. There was a fellow who was into hockey, Yom Valaila. The sport, hockey. He followed it, he played it, and he ended up in that particular religious high school, but modern religious high school, they had a hockey team. And in the high school, he became the captain of the hockey team, the Fashtetzach, his whole life. Mamish, his whole life. Bright fellow, stomach did decently in school. I don't know how much attention he paid to his rebbein, but his chiyus, his life, came from that sport. Fourth year is over. He goes off to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because all the boys are going to Eretz Yisrael. They go to where various yeshivas, Hezda, this kind of yeshiva, that kind of, what's the difference? Anyhow, some rebbe got to him. The mahalach of the yeshiva got to him. Oira got to him. Haki man dechar shme. Man dechar shme. It does not exist. Now, baba kama, baba metzia, baba basra, shulchan aruch, nefesh achayim. I mean, who knows whatever. He's learning 18 hours a day. And remarkably, he doesn't isolate himself from the world. He doesn't have the common, withdrawal symptoms. He's not strange. He's not peculiar. He comes back and he goes to our yeshiva. He walks into the pizza shop and he's so charming. And he's so full of Avos Yisrael. And he's so full of Avodas Hashem. And he basically is makariv everybody in sight. And learning nonstop. What a success story. What an unbelievable transformation. One day, he's not my Talmud, he's not in my shir. But Rabbi Kahn, everybody goes to talk to Rabbi Kahn. So he goes over to me one day, and he says, he doesn't know. He says, he doesn't feel the Ribbono Shlom's presence. He said, I'm talking to Hashem, and he's not answering me. Everything fell apart. Torah, Avodas Hashem, Yirat Shamayim on the highest level, forget about it. Stop putting on tefillin every day. And I don't know where he is right now. I certainly don't want to give any details because maybe the Eibishter health and... But the fact of the matter is, I analyzed for hours, what is it that, what happened over here? Once in a while, a person goes to Eretz Yisrael and he snaps. Snaps. It's too much, it's too fast, it's too intense. And you see the snap when he comes back. He's not Beseder. This fellow was so charming, he was so capable, he was so alive. But he also snapped. You know why he snapped? He snapped in Eretz Yisrael. That's what I'm saying. It's just you couldn't tell. You know how he snapped? He made a compact with Hashem. I'm going to be yours and you're going to be mine. He put Hashem into his pouch, into his wallet. He was a card-carrying member of the unique club called People Who Resonate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want you to know that that is a very elitist thing. And it's very charming and very compelling and very attractive. And a person is willing to give up even hockey for that. But it's not real. We do not make individual bargains with Hashem like somebody is going into a store and fights with the balabas. How much are you going to sell this for? The Ribbono Shel Olam is not selling Yiddishkeit and the Ribbono Shel Olam is not giving out stars. Not the kind of stars that we can see. And the whole idea that now I own the Ribbono Shel Olam because he owes me, because I became his, is treif as treif can be. And when that happens, there is inevitably going to be a time when he just doesn't see it. There's going to be a moment when he's not so matzliach in his learning, or a moment when the Yetzer grabs him a little bit too hard, or a moment when the Rebbe doesn't say he's the best Talmud in the whole world, or the fellow that's being charmed somehow doesn't respond. And all of a sudden, or a davening where he doesn't feel anything. And all of a sudden, that whole imagined binyan disintegrates. And there's nothing there. That's a remarkable thing. You'll ask me, what about learning Torah? Because he wasn't learning Torah. I hope you understand what I'm driving at. That's why you can't go to Madregas that you're not Shayach on. Not only because it's not appropriate, like where you're kriching, be who you are. It's because when a person goes where he doesn't belong, what he's doing is not that madrega. It's something else. And by and large, it's full of sheker, it's full of chait in its own way. And that's the inyan of miyokum b'har kodesh. So the miyala step requires an integration. You can't jump. Comes along the Vilna Gaon and he says, you could, which is incredible. Look at the words of the Gra. Okay, the Siyata Deshmaya that comes together with Limud HaTorah allows the space on top of the hay there to get a little bit open, to stretch a little bit. Fine. Tyra gives you fresh perspectives. Tyra gives you a cocoon of protection. But the next point, v'im torutz midarga ledarga, lo tikoshel shelo tipol machmazeh. I want to be mazbit to you. The go never meant that you go from one madrega to another with a rush, and you're not shaykh to the madrega at all, and then you'll run into the base medrash every once in a while, or you'll sit and learn Torah, and the mela, that will compensate for it. That will allow that you should not fall and break your bones. Like a Humpty Dumpty, you know, once the person falls, it's very possible that he'll never be able to put himself back together. That's not what the Goyen has in mind. The Goyen has in mind that I don't want to be facetious about this. Sometimes when you give a mashal that's too down to earth, it doesn't resonate properly. It doesn't allow the kedusha to be infused in it. But there's an express train and there's a local train. The express train is able to reach its destination much faster. But you have to be in the express lane. And the person who needs that local stop it's not going to help him that he's learning Torah. So, as in the marshal that I gave you. And it's very much when you go midarga ledarga and you're climbing and there's no rungs to the ladder, then because he's kofetz, then unless you anchor yourself to that madrega that you are arriving at, you can't stop. You can't even pause because the rungs don't exist. So you just fall. It's mashal amar davadim. A person goes off on the diving board and he keeps going. And he thinks that the diving board is infinite. But the diving board's come to an end. And even in the cartoons, there comes a point where he falls. You understand? Now, this is a point that a person has to appreciate. The Goyim never meant that, you know, hang on to the Torah and that's your parachute. Or hang on to the Torah and it's your ladder, you know, like the mountain climbers. You know, your rope. It's not like that. Torah, what Reb Leib Malin used to say, Zichrono Livracha, is Torah is nishken bak oven. It's not an oven. You take the dough, you put it in the oven, out comes a beautiful challah. It doesn't work like that. But what Torah does is it allows you to take the express train. Because a person who's immersed in learning has a way of integrating more quickly the madrega. That's what he means. So when he's kofetz mi madrega la madrega, he's still roi to the madrega, but he's a kofetz. So normally that integration takes a long time. But when a person is immersed in Torah, the etzem zuchus ha-Torah and the koyach ha-Torah and the limud ha-Torah, it has special powers. Allows you to get what you need from that madrega so that the miyakum of that madrega happens much faster. And that's what he means. Shalai tikoshel, shalai tipoil machmaseh. Don't make the mistake of thinking that this going says, you learn Torah and everything is fine, then you can go from 0 to 100. It doesn't work like that. You still have to have that engine. And the engine is not provided by the Torah. What the Torah does is the ability to integrate the madrega much faster and much easier. That's a gewaldike yisod.